scripture reading today is from James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The power of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Amen.
Like many of you, I receive a lot of text messages. My favorite text messages to receive are ones that request prayer. And this week I received a text message from one of our dads asking if I would pray for his son who was taking a test to enter the United States Marine Corps. And so I prayed diligently for that young man and for his test-taking procedure. And it wasn't long after that that I received another text from the same individual who was saying that his son had passed the test and now he needed to go to Columbus for physical and then to be sworn into the United States Marine Corps. And I was so grateful to God for his very quick answer to that prayer and for all the prayers that have been offered on behalf of this family, because that's a great dad, in my estimation. A dad who takes the problems and the challenges of life and translates them into intercession. And you know, friends, that's a reminder to us all that we're to pray for our families. And the Bible gives us some instructions about prayer in the book of James, which can be used to talk about prayer in the church, but also to be reflected on when we think about praying for one another's family. And so if you're in the book of James, chapter 5, you'll read in verses 13 and 14, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord." The clear word here in James chapter 5 is to pray. And I hope that you do that. I hope that you spend a lot of time in intercession for your family and for the needs of other people. You know, there are times when people don't want to bother us with their problems. They say, "Oh, I don't want to bother you with this problem." But what you should know is that in a recent USA Today study among Christians over the age of 45, praying and intercession for other people brings about more actual happiness than helping other people, than living a moral life, and even spending time with the ones that you love. So what USA Today is telling us is simple. They're saying, when you ask someone to pray for your family, and they pray for your family, it makes them happy. That's a surprise to some of you, isn't it? It's not a burden. It's not a burden on the one who prays. They want to pray for you. They want to pray for your family. You know, the deacons of our congregation meet together with anyone at the close of a worship service to pray with you in accordance with needs that you may have. And so we're reminded by that practice that that is consistent with what we read in the Bible. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story of Jairus, the synagogue leader, who came to Jesus and asked for help because his daughter was dying. His 12-year-old daughter was dying. And in the space of time that it took Jesus to travel to the home of Jairus's daughter, that daughter died. And when you read the story in Matthew chapter 8, it says that when Jesus entered the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd, they were already beginning the mourning. He said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep." And then the Bible says they laughed at him. Can you imagine someone laughing at Jesus? I can't. But they did. So it says that the crowd was put outside. Jesus went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. And news of this spread throughout all the region. What an amazing story. Asking Jesus to come and to bring healing to someone who you would say is beyond healing. I'm reminded of my own family when I read this story. When my father-in-law was dying of pancreatitis, he was in a hospital in Middletown, and they said, call in all the family. This is it. And so people came into the hospital room. They prayed and prayed and prayed. And Gary got better. Gary was healed. One of my favorite things to do is get him out on the golf course for a couple hours and just enjoy time with him, because every day with my father-in-law is a gift from God. I know where that comes from. It comes from people praying together. And that's the first principle that we read here in James chapter 5. Dear friends, I can't say this strongly enough. You need to ask people to pray. And you need to pray for your families. But don't do it by yourself. Do it as a team. Do it with one another. Pray together. Join hands together. Lay hands on people together. Anoint with oil. Take this seriously. This is very, very important. We're not supposed to be in isolation from one another. We're supposed to be a team. This story of Jesus raising up the daughter of Jairus from the dead tells us two monumental things. We need the help of others when our family is in trouble, and we need Jesus. And all this leads us to the topic of faith. It says in verse 15 that the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Faith is essential to prayer. When you pray, you simply must believe that God will answer the prayer and that He will bring about the transformation that you're praying for. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. There's a story of Jesus being transfigured in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 17. And when Jesus and Peter and James and John came down from the mountain, they were immediately met with an individual who said to them, Lord, have mercy on me and my son. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. So what did Jesus do? He rebuked the demon immediately. And the boy was healed from that very moment. And so privately, the disciples came to Jesus and said, why couldn't we do that? And you know what Jesus said? He said, because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. You see, faith in prayer leads to change. It should be the expectation of praying people that things will change because of our prayers. The family that I'm praying for will experience hope and healing and guidance and grace. If I'm praying for a member of my own family, I will speak confidently to the Lord of His great power to both heal and to change the circumstances. Praying in faith is enabled by some important practices, and I hope that you do this when you pray. Speak the Word of God. When you pray, you should speak the Word of God. You should speak the promises of God. And my encouragement to all of you parents and to all of you grandparents is that you should share the promises of God with your children and your grandchildren. You should reinforce those ideas with them all the time. You should say to your children and your grandchildren on a regular basis, according to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Right? We should be saying these things to our children, to our grandchildren, helping them know the promises of God and reinforcing them so that they have faith. And then we should envision the person being healed. We should envision the person beginning that new job. We should envision the relationship being reconciled. We should envision the weather changing. Those are things that we see people pray about in the Bible, and we're encouraged to pray about them as well. There were three farmers who were gathered daily in a field during a drought. And these men were down on their knees. They were looking upward and praying that the skies would open and pour forth rain. Unfortunately, the heavens were silent. These petitioners became discouraged in their prayers, but they kept praying anyway. And then a man walked up to them and watched them pray. And he said to them, "What are you doing?" And they responded, "We're praying for rain." And the individual looked at them and said, "I don't think so." And then they responded to him, "Yes, of course we're praying. We're down on our knees pleading for rain. Look around. See the drought. We haven't had rain in more than a year." And this individual continued to look at them and doubted that that's what they were really doing. They said to him, "We need the rain. We aren't asking only for ourselves, but for our families and for our livestock." The man listened, nodded, and said that, "I'm still not impressed. You're wasting your time." So one of the farmers said to him, "Well, if you were in our shoes, what would you do differently? We really want to know. The future of our farm is at stake." And the individual spoke back to them, "Well, if it was me, I would have brought an umbrella." Dear friends, there is the envisioning of the answer of prayer. If you're praying for rain, bring an umbrella. Dear friends, we should expect God to heal. We should expect God to work and to move in power. So we must envision God doing this. It says in verse 16 that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The word for effective is energeo. It means work, but it's where we get the word for energy. You see, prayer is not simply saying the words, is it? There is an effort that we bring to prayer. There is an energy that we bring to prayer. It was P.T. Forsyth who once said, "Prayer is not merely wishing, it is asking with a will, it is energy. It is giving your very best to this process." And so on Wednesday nights, we come together at 7 o'clock and we review requests for prayer, and then we pray passionately for the needs of the people and their loved ones. It's one of the most important times in the life of this church family is Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock when we pray for people. And there's an energy that's brought which amazes me and encourages me. And it fits in perfectly with what James is saying here. James goes on to say that Elijah, he's talking about the prophet, was a human being even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. You remember the story? What's going on in Israel and Samaria at this time is that things are being run poorly by the king and the queen. Do you remember the queen, Jezebel? Okay, well, this is a bringing of judgment. This is what Elijah is doing. He's asking for God to take away the rain so that the nation suffers and knows that it's filled with sin. But then he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. His prayers were filled with power. Dear friends, it's tempting for you to put Elijah up on a pedestal and say what a great prophet he was. But what James is saying to you right now is that the power for change resides in you just as it did in Elijah. Isn't that what he's saying here? He's saying Elijah was a human being even as we are. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. Your prayers are as powerful and as effective as the prayers of Elijah, because it's not the power of Elijah. It's not the power of you. It's the power of God. That same power changes circumstances on earth, and it raised Jesus from the dead. We read in Ephesians 1, "The power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand." Dear friends, this power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is flowing through your prayers. Are you praying in faith? Are you praying as a team? Are you praying believing that your prayers make a difference? You know, we wonder, of what value are my prayers? Of what value am I? I read an interesting story about a guy whose name was Bob. Bob went to a garage sale. And when he was in this garage sale, he wandered to the back of the garage. And he spotted a motorcycle, a Harley Davidson. And he said to the individual whose house it was, "Is this motorcycle for sale?" And he said, "Well, there's no price tag on it. I wasn't planning on selling it. But I'll tell you what, if you really want it, I'll give it to you for $35. And the reason I'm selling it to you so cheap is that it hasn't run for years. So you'd just be buying it for the parts." And the guy said, "Okay, I'll take it." So he bought the motorcycle for $35. He took it home, and then he immediately got on the phone and called Harley Davidson to find out a little bit more about the motorcycle. In his conversation with Harley Davidson, they asked him what the serial number was. And he told them. And then they said, "Could you go out and look at the motorcycle and lift up the seat and see if there's anything written underneath the seat?" And so Bob did. He went out and lifted up the seat, and then he came back to the phone and he said, "You know, there's something engraved beneath the seat. It says the King." And promptly, Harley Davidson offered him $300,000 for that motorcycle. He said, "I'll have to think about it." The next day, Bob got a call from the entertainer whose name is Jay Leno. Jay Leno offered Bob $500,000 for that motorcycle. "Have you put the pieces together yet?" This motorcycle had belonged to Elvis Presley. You see, the value of this motorcycle was completely altered by who it was who had owned it. Dear friends, you are not owned by the King of rock and roll. You are owned by the King of Kings. And that knowledge should make you aware of the fact that you are priceless, that you are beyond any estimate of value that this world could ever create. And so what that means is that your prayers for your family, your prayers for your spouse, for your children — I hope we're praying for dads — your prayers for your grandchildren, your prayers for your wider family, when they're given to God as a team, when they're given to God in faith, when they're given to God believing that change will occur, make all the difference in the world. So let's pray. The Bible says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving present your requests unto God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." That sounds like a perfect description for a praying family. Let's be praying families. Let's pray for our families. Let's pray for other people's families. Let's pray for the family of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are owned by you, the King of Kings. We give you praise and thanks for who you are, and ask that you would remind us every day that our prayers make a difference. We praise and thank you, Lord, for your presence here and for fathers. And we ask, Lord, that this day of celebration remind us, O God, that you are our eternal Father. We give praise and thanks to you in Jesus' name. Amen. The prayers of our deacons will make a difference in your life. So if you have a need for prayer, please come forward as we sing together, "Happy the Home Where God Is There," number 536. Will you please stand?